Welcome back, WNST, Towson from Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. Yes, we're still doing it at the mothership at AM 1570. So set your car dial for us. We're going to be getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I'm wearing my Fadley's gear. We're going to be at Fadley's next Friday the 9th doing a morning show. We're going to be talking about shipping crab cakes, doing great stuff. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. We served a lot of folks a lot of food with Goodwill on Wednesday. And, of course, our friends at Window Nation keeping us warm at 866-90-NATION, saving dough throughout December as well. Thanksgiving was good. I had pie. I did it all a la mode. I had some cinnamon ice cream. Things were going great with the Ravens. Despite not being in Jacksonville, first time I've ever missed a Ravens Jacksonville game. I was writing the lead that, yeah, the offense isn't very good, but they survived. They did all right. The defense smells great right now. And, you know, if I'm still working at the News American or the News Post or the Evening Sun, I'd have to rewrite the lead. Luke, Sunday, the evaporation of this thing, and I wrote about this on my columnist. I know you're going to write about it at Baltimore Positive. This is kind of a well-balanced F-up, right? Like, this isn't, you know, the defense is culpable here as well, despite being – the stouter of the two sides of the ball without question at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you and I spent an entire segment talking about the offense and the red zone struggles, you know, not running the ball as well, other than when Lamar Jackson is taking matters into his own hands. And it's incredible to think that this football game was 19-10 midway through the fourth quarter. And you kind of look at that third quarter for the Ravens defense, three and out, strip sack, fumble, recovery leads to it. The Ravens finally getting into the end zone and it's 19-10 and you're thinking, okay, I mean, very choppy.
And a big violent play, right? Like big violent takeaway kind of old school, where's Ed Reed? Where's Ray Lewis? I mean, Roquan Smith, even the play he made at the end, that had shades of Ray Lewis. It really did.
Yeah, I mean, it's they played at a high level for most of the three quarters. I mean, that two-minute defense wasn't great at the end of the second quarter, but I mean, at that point, you know, it is what it is at that point. You're not going to shut teams out every single week. We can't have that kind of standard. The 2000 Ravens wouldn't be the 2000 Ravens in this day and age because of the rule changes alone. So we always have to keep that in mind. But you just look at how well the defense played through three quarters and how fantastic it was in that third quarter. And then just to see that go away and Jacksonville picking up big third down conversions, a fourth down conversion at one point, and just giving up big plays and you give up a 75-yard touchdown drive, the disaster of the fumble with Gus Edwards, and give the defense credit. And you mentioned the Roquan Smith play. Sudden change defense was phenomenal there to not allow a touchdown and to make it so you're only down a point and you give the ball back to the offense with plenty of time. And the offense did what you would want them to do. They drive down the field, score a touchdown. They get the two-pointer, and you're thinking they're set. And they're as choppy, as rough as the offensive performance was inside the red zone. You lead 27-20 with just over 2 minutes to go. You get the two-point conversion, so you're up seven. And you're saying, all right,
we're going to survive this, right?
I mean, at this point in time, especially with the Roquan Smith acquisition at the trade deadline, I mean, even though statistically it still doesn't look that way, I think we would all would have agreed prior to the last 2 minutes that the defense was certainly heading in the right direction and looking like the stronger of the two sides of the ball. Well, and then Trevor Lawrence and Zay Jones and the Jaguars offense comes alive and, you know, they march down the field and score a touchdown and go for two and give them credit. A 3-7 football team with nothing to lose. I love that decision. I mean, I really do. I've said it to you so many times when you and I have debated the Ravens on whether they're going for two or not, whether they're going for the fourth down or not. And I always try to remind that forcing overtime does not equal winning the football game. And there was a case of the Jaguars easily could have kicked the extra point and we go to overtime and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, you leave it up to a coin toss, you leave it up to a busted play. I mean, saw what happened with the Raiders Seahawks game where Jacobs busts the long one in overtime and the Raiders win. You leave it up to who knows what's going to happen over, from the coin toss to whatever happens over a 10-minute extra period. If you're Doug Peterson, and John Harbaugh has been in this position before where you say, hey, I have a chance to win if I can get 2 yards. And I think more teams, quite frankly, should take advantage of that. We saw the Chargers do the same thing. It's easy to poke holes in it and make fun of it when it does not work. But I notice we tend to not credit coaches when they do these things and they work out. We kind of just chalk it up and say, oh, it was bad defense. So just wanted to put that little
Well, in the case of Peterson and Harbaugh, either one of them would. I mean, they manage the same way. They're new school. They've got the same book going to Vegas that you got, and that's the way they're going to play it. In that, I had very little doubt that he was going to go for it. I turned to Jen. I said, they're 3-7. They're going to go for it.
Yeah, and I mean, Zay Jones, who, as you made the comment in our previous conversation, shades of Jimmy Smith or Keenan McCardell back in the old days, burning the Ravens.
I have still never asked John Harbaugh a question after Zay Jones won a football game against them. So I'm 0-2 asking John Harbaugh questions.
So there's that. And also, heck of a catch by Marvin Jones for the touchdown to put them in that position. I guess the shin, the side of the leg was down. I mean, I still don't know exactly what is a catch. I'm not going to pretend to say that I know for sure, but
2 feet is definitely a catch. I know that. Now, anything beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about elbows and shins.
And I guess we did learn in that Ravens playoff loss to Tennessee a few years back. What was it? Jonu Smith had the right butt cheek, I guess, came down inbounds for a touchdown, but let's call a spade a spade. We can hammer the offense for the lack of success inside the red zone through the first three quarters of that football game. If we're going to do that, we need to hammer the defense for being offensive in that fourth quarter in their inability to get a stop. And if there's one thing that I've talked about with this defense, even with the Roquan Smith addition, I look at the cornerback position. Okay, Marlon Humphrey's played at a high level this year. He's played at a Pro Bowl level. I have no concerns about him. He's played at a high level. I think Marcus Peters, we've chalked it up on a number of occasions to coming back from the ACL. And that's part of this. But he's also 29 years old. He's not the player he was a few years ago from an age standpoint. I think even if you go back and look at how he played down the stretch in 2020, he wasn't playing at the same level he had the year before. Marcus Peters had a rough day, a rough go of it on Sunday. I don't think there's any way to hide that. I think you have to call a spade a spade. And in the case of that third cornerback spot, we have seen Kyle Hamilton kind of take over in that big nickel role. As far as what they've done in recent weeks. And they did that to a high degree of success, albeit against New Orleans, albeit against Carolina. And as we mentioned, this Jacksonville offense better than those aforementioned units. But
sometimes they're dropping Humphrey inside and playing him as a linebacker.
Well, they've been Humphrey played a lot of nickel because Kyle Hamilton wasn't there, and they feel Brandon Stevens is better on the outside. Now, Brandon Stevens made some plays in that football game, but he also gave up some plays, including the final 2-point conversion. So my overall point there, if you're looking at this defense right now, which fourth quarter aside, people were feeling good about it. I do think some of the talk about this being one of the great defenses was way premature when people were talking about it after Carolina and after New Orleans. In fact, I think that was a slap in the face, quite frankly, to some of the defenses of the past. I'd even say some of the defenses earlier in the Wink Martindale era that people were suddenly, are trying to make Wink out to be that, he was the big problem for this defense, as though they weren't significantly injured last year like they were on the offensive side of the football. But I digress on that point. My point is, we've seen this defense now struggle on a number of occasions to finish football games. And I get it, earlier in the season, it's easy to chalk it up to some of the players that weren't in the lineup, and get it. No Kyle Hamilton on Sunday. Marcus Peters will be back. He started practicing this week, but at some point in time, you can't keep just pointing to, well, it'll be better if this guy's back or if this guy's back. Guess what's going to happen? There's probably going to be injuries the rest of the year. Now, you hope it's not season ending, but you can't just say, well, They didn't have this guy, so that's why that happened. No, this defense has a lot of resources pumped into it, and they failed at the end of the game. And that's what it was. And they have to look themselves in the mirror and acknowledge that. And John Harbaugh would acknowledge that. And I think Mike McDonald would acknowledge that. So it really comes down to, as we said, talking about the offense, even though it was better late in the game, this defense, as well as it played through three quarters, it stunk in the fourth quarter. Let's call it what it was. And they came up short. And ultimately, we can talk all we
Part
want
of
about
that's
the
the
red
pass
zone.
rush, right? Like, pass rush was better early in the game, really disappeared at the end.
Yeah, it was there at times. I do think, there were some cases where Trevor Lawrence held on to the ball, and maybe there was even some, some pressure by coverage, more so because he was struggling to find guys down the field earlier in the game. But yeah, I mean, I think it was, even talking about the first and second level, I mean, there were missed tackles at times. Look at some of the success that Jacksonville had throwing to their backs. They didn't run the ball a whole lot. That's evident by the final numbers, and it certainly helped that Travis Etienne wasn't in the game after hurting his foot early on. But there were missed tackles. There were some miscommunications, some blown assignments, some big plays given up in some third and fourth yard or fourth down situations, and they were very much lacking in that fourth quarter. So we can talk about the offense, and you look at the final score and say, well, the offense, they scored 27 points. In this day and age, especially with scoring being down around the league, it's really not that bad at the end of the day, even if we know it was very choppy getting to that point. Defense, as well as they played, and you go into the fourth quarter and you're leading 19-10, and you're thinking that, hey, this game's in hand. Well, they fell apart, just like we saw them do in the Miami game, and we saw them wilt. It wasn't a collapse against the Giants. I wouldn't say it was a collapse against the Bills, but in those cases, those were games they had a chance to make a play to finish it off, and they didn't do it. And that's where we're now. That's why we're now talking about this team having lost instead of the fact that they had a 19-10 lead and they were unable to protect a two-score game in the fourth quarter yet again.
Really is amazing, just that 2-point conversion, right? Like, knock that ball down. We're talking about a different story here today, right? It really hinges on that in a big way.
It does, I think, but I will say this, and I am really glad you brought that up. That is why it is important to focus on process so much. That's why you and I were not doing cartwheels about a 13-3 win over the Carolina Panthers, for example, because you look at process and you say, boy, there was a lot of things that they didn't do well in that football game, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You're right. If that
Things
play
that we
falls
said
into,
last week would cost them against a better team like Jacksonville with a
yeah.
real quarterback.
Better. Yeah. I mean, Jacksonville is not a good team. They're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. But yeah, we said that things, if they played that way, if elements of that performance against Carolina showed up against Jacksonville, they had a good chance of losing, especially on the road. So, but, the difference here was the defense played great for 60 minutes, albeit against Baker Mayfield. And you saw Carolina maybe have a little more success going to Sam Darnold, although I don't think he's very good either. But it comes down to it again. You've got to find a way to finish football games. You've got to find a way to play 60 minutes. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but I felt as though Sunday's game, Nestor, was it was like a tug of war between the offense and the defense as far as who was ultimately going to cost them. It was the offense, specifically the red zone woes over the first three quarters of that football game. And then it was the defense in the fourth quarter. And certainly should mention the turnover and, which the defense did a nice job holding the three there, but it's just too many mistakes. Not nearly clean enough over 60 minutes to get that win, and that's where it's disappointing because it's not as though Jacksonville's this great football team. They're better than 3-7. I thought that. I anticipated that going into it, but you've got to figure out a way to play more complete football games, especially when you're going to start playing AFC North opponents on the road. And say what you want about Cleveland or Pittsburgh, and I get it. They're not making the playoffs or anything like that. But those are teams that know you much better than some of these recent opponents. And they're going to, they certainly have ways to, they ways to potentially limit your offense or ways to make plays against your defense. I mean, that's just the nature of how it goes with AFC North football, divisional football. It's typically how it goes around the league. So you make these kind of mistakes and you're playing division games on the road, you're going to get your feelings hurt again. So they've got to figure out a way to be more complete. I mean, they had seemingly done that, and we hadn't had this conversation since week six. But I mean, this is another football game where you look at it, and I'll go back to what I said in one of our previous segments, where it's just incredible. If you knew nothing about a football team and you said, well, over their 11 games, they've had a two-score lead in all of them, you'd think, okay, what's their record? 10-1, 9-2. I don't think that'd be unreasonable to think that. And they're 7-4. Now, doesn't mean season over or anything like that. And this is where we go back to what you just mentioned. I think it's important not to panic over the result of a 2-point conversion as far as feeling pretty good overall about a win, although certainly we'd be talking about some of the deficiencies.
It's a results business, Luke. It's a results business.
It is. No question. It is at the end of the day. You're absolutely right. But that's where we look at this thing and keep saying that, it just they can't get fully calibrated. I mean, they just can't. I mean, again, the defense plays so well for three quarters. The offense finally makes some big plays in the fourth quarter, and you're just thinking, okay, you should be able to close out a win one way or the other there. And they just couldn't do it. Like I said, it felt like a internal struggle, an internal tug of war of who ultimately was going to cost them the football game at the end. And well, it was certainly more the defense in the fourth quarter, but again, not going to completely just forget what happened as far as some of the red zone woes leading up to that point in time.
I'm stunned Tucker didn't make the kick. Like, I mean, to some degree, I just thought when he came on, I'm like, he's gonna bail their ass out, and and he's gonna bunny hop, and they're gonna win. Dude, and this isn't, how neutral I am on them these days. I just thought they were gonna win. I never thought they were gonna lose until Jones pulled the ball in. I still thought he might friggin' Lee Evans it. Before it was all over with. You know what I mean? Like, I never thought they were going to lose the football game. I needed to towel off when it ended, because usually I'm in the press box going down. We're seeing John. I'm trying to come up with a question or two that doesn't piss him off too much, but tries to get an answer for something about the red zone or about Lamar's play and being air. Press him on things. I would press him on things. That's all gone. I was just trying to process, like, they lost. Like, hey, how did that happen? Because I thought all along all of these warts that we're talking about, whether it's red zone offense, overthrows, drops, lack of running game, injuries, lack
Delay
of
of games.
receiver, delay, inefficiency in getting, like, all of that would be deodorized by Bowser with a strip and, Peter's falling on the ball, or like, or in the end, even through all the sins that they had, that they even completed a pass and got Justin Tucker on the field and got him out there and got him set up. I thought it's going to go through. It just they're kissed by destiny. They win games like this. They don't lose games like this. Well, this
Well,
group has 4 times.
I was just going to say, for me, it was the Duvernay return that
Went
went
backwards.
nowhere, and then Gus Edwards fumbling.
It's great. My wife's son, he's running backwards.
That's for me, it really felt like they could lose this football game. And I thought it was going to be close all along. I picked a 1-point win for the Ravens. It's not like I thought this was going to be a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination, because if you had kind of taking a look at Jacksonville, they're a team that's played really well for stretches, kind of like the Ravens in some ways,
I should have
not
opened up a
exactly.
damn gambling account because I was all over taking the points, like all over getting 4 points at home with the Jaguars. I'd be into that. I would have
But
cashed that bet.
for me, from the moment that Gus Edwards fumbled, that felt a little Giants-like to me. And that's where, even with Roquan Smith making the tackle in the third down play, where there was daylight there. I mean, he might have scored on that 3rd and 10 if not for the tackle. But they hold it to the field goal. It just didn't feel right at that point in time. And that's where, even with the DeSean Jackson play, I had a bad feeling about that one. And I'll say, I will disagree. I didn't feel like Tucker was going to make that. I mean, a yard longer than Detroit outside compared to being in the dome. That's a lot. I mean, Justin Tucker's the greatest of all time. Let's be clear about this. I did find it funny, like, hearing him interviewed and, like it's some failure on his part. I mean, it would have been an NFL record kick outside, even though that there wasn't a whole lot of wind to speak of, at least according
only
to.
Only would have been the greatest kick of all time.
Sure. Oh, sure. So although I will say this, it wouldn't have been quite as dramatic as my the Will Hill blocked field goal return that I, tongue in cheek called on Twitter on that awful Browns Ravens Monday night game back in 2015. But I did say before Jacksonville squibbed, and by the way, Doug Peterson, that squib kick with Justin Tucker being the opposing team's kicker, that was dumb. That was dumb. I couldn't believe that they squibbed it that short, knowing that the Ravens needed one play and they had two timeouts left to give Justin Tucker a 60-something yard
chance.
Right, exactly. So, but I had tweeted it before that squib saying 14 seconds, two timeouts, and Justin Tucker. The Ravens are very close to dead, but not yet. And I had a couple of people call me a moron, which, that's fine. People are upset at the end of the game. But it really just comes down to a couple yards too long.
People call you a moron on the internet, really?
Right?
You're such a nice guy.
Hey, I say some dumb things.
Just because
I don't
of
think
me.
That was a dumb thing. I've said plenty of dumb things on Twitter before, but that was not a dumb thing. That almost... almost came true. If Justin Tucker, I saw some people say it would have been good from 66. He needed a couple more. That was a few yards short when you kind of look at the trajectory and where it landed. But hey, the fact that we're even talking about him trying a 67-yard field goal, it's a testament to him, but also speaks to how much the Ravens have had to rely on him of late, which is too much. And it's something that they're going to have to remedy this. We're talking about leaving teams in the game like Carolina and Jacksonville. I mean, what do you think?
They'll beat Denver. Denver stinks, right?
Denver's offense stinks. I'll say that much. I do think the Denver defense, entire body of work, has been pretty stout. I do wonder at some point, I wonder if we saw that with Sunday's loss in particular, if they get to a point where they just start wilting because, Russell Wilson was, I don't know if I'd say damaged goods or a lemon or whatever you want to call him at this point, but I mean, that offense has been awful. I mean, just awful compared to the fact that you have a Super Bowl winning quarterback, that guy that most people think on his way to a Hall of Fame and all of that. And they can't score. They can't score points. And he's been terrible. I mean, he really has been relative to what you would expect, what he was in Seattle for so many years. So,
Better be terrible this week.
I mean, the Ravens are coming home. They're playing a Broncos team that is out of it. I'm not assuming anything at this point, but it's another very favorable matchup. But
I love it because I get together with Brandon Stokely and Chad Brown. So
yeah,
it makes
for
a fun radio week for me.
Definitely. But on Sunday's fourth quarter, I mean, felt like this defense was trending in such a good direction, and looked that way through three quarters again. But now back to the same old questions about ability to finish. Do they have enough at cornerback? And look, I don't think Kyle Hamilton's going to be out long, but I had the question, Hamilton being the nickel, that works against the Carolina. That works against the New Orleans. It may have worked against Jacksonville even. Is that going to work against Kansas City? Is that going to work against Buffalo? Is that going to work against Cincinnati or Miami? I don't know. And got a long way between now and then to answer that question and find out. But definitely a disappointing result on Sunday, considering where the Ravens were midway through that quarter. There's no question about it.
All right. Well, we'll continue to dissect this loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Get you ready for the Denver Broncos. Luke will be on with Dennis, as will I, on Thursday. All that brought to you by our friends at Coons Ford. Of course, you're on our WNST Tech Service. That is brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford, and we always appreciate Dennis stopping by. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5. Luke joins him. I join him as we get ready for Sunday morning and the Denver Broncos coming to town. I think about all these years with the Denver Broncos, man. Wow. This is This is the lowly lows of the Denver Broncos. Better not be derailing the Ravens' playoff plans this week. Lots and lots of great stuff on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. We're back after it at Fadley's next Friday, the 9th. We're going to be talking about shipping crab cakes and holiday crab cakes. And, you know, you want to be a hero out of state, man. You're one click away from being a hero by sending crab cakes at any of our sponsors. So we'll be talking about that all month long. I am Nestor. Luke will be in Owings Mills. You can find him out at Baltimore Luke, wherever good social media is sent. And we both have been writing. My writing is at Column Nest, and everything we do is up to date. Finally, thank God for holidays, out at baltimorepositive.com.